morning, my friends, and welcome to this special installment of Weekend Update. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy, snowy, probably, so they say, Saturday. If you listened to all the weather reports, this evening we're about to be hit by a yet another spring snowstorm. It's spring in Wyoming, and presumably all of us are used to it. Anyway, well, this morning I'm pleased to officially announce that Cowboy State Politics has completed the move of its corporate studio to Sheridan, Wyoming. It's taken a long time to get this whole process together, but finally everything has moved to Sheridan, so I'm very pleased to be able to officially announce that. In fact, I think this calls for a little celebration. And I know what you're thinking, my friends. What a profound privilege it is for all Sheridan County elected officials to have me living right beside them. Why would you not want Wyoming's most listened to podcast right in your own backyard? If only they would think of all the tremendous possibilities for investigative reporting that lay ahead of us. It's going to absolutely be fantastic fun, my friends. For far too long, Sheridan County has had to put up with the likes of the Wyoming mainstream media and their ultimate lack of investigative skills. A veritable, shall I say, curiosity desert. All I can tell you, my friends, is I am positive that Christy Antoinette Haswell and Nick Siddle and Tom Ringley and the second largest member of the weasel species on the Sheridan City Council should be delighted to hear this news. And I have to tell you, my friends, I am just as excited for them as I am for myself. So much so that me and my pal Harry Pollock put together a celebratory investigation to mark this occasion. I should warn you before we get going that the subject matter is a little dark, macabre even. Don't let that bother you. It's only the morgue that we're going to be talking about, or rather, the new morgue that Sheridan County just built. It would appear, in their understandable exuberance about their new project, they forgot a couple of things when they were designing the whole morgue, and now, to fix it, it's going to cost a tremendous amount of money. What I'm talking about is the sprinkler system that they forgot, or rather, they didn't even plan on installing in the new morgue. As far as Harry and I can tell, not having a sprinkler system in the new morgue is entirely legal, if not completely and absolutely brain-dead and without common sense. Now I realize that the stiffs that are going to be inhabiting the morgue probably won't mind if a fire breaks out. They will have already departed this mortal coil. On the other hand, though, morgues typically contain evidence. Evidence critical to law enforcement investigations, so it might be a good idea to have a fire suppression system in a place that contains critical pieces of evidence that are necessary in court. But evidently, nobody on the Sheridan County Commission or the Sheridan City Council thought of that. But I think you get the idea. The other day, Harry and I sat down and talked the whole thing through. Here is our discussion. On my birthday, 2022, the Sheridan County Commissioners put out a bid to construct a morgue. In fact, the bid advertisement says, Sheridan County Sheriff's Office Renovation and Coroner's Office / Morgue Project. The total of the project was $1.88 million, or at least that's what's listed on the bid advertisement. I have joining me Harry Pollock. Harry, welcome to Cowboy State Politics.
Good afternoon, David. Thank you.
So you attended the ribbon cutting of this morgue slash office slash renovation project, right?
I did. Yeah, that was back in November 23.
Okay. There's something that is conspicuously missing from their project. What is that?
I'm an observant kind of guy. You know, I see things probably that a lot of people don't see. And as I'm walking around the building and talking to folks and looking around, I noticed there were no fire sprinkler system. I didn't see any alarm system. I didn't see any smoke detectors. I didn't even see any fire extinguishers. Basically no safety protocols whatsoever to protect the building, protect the evidence that may be included in that building, protect your loved ones, etc.
So, you know, at the ribbon cutting, my understanding is that Dr. Bird went out and bought fire extinguishers for the event.
I did hear that. I don't know if it was for that event or if it was after the fact, but I did hear that Dr. Bird did have to go out and buy some fire extinguishers.
Okay. Now, the reason I'm interviewing you is you did all the legwork on this story. You went around and talked to the people involved and got your hands on all of the documents, some of which we'll make public, some of which we won't because we were asked not to. But did they even plan a fire suppression system for the morgue?
No. And all the folks I talked to, and I talked to folks from the state, local city, the county, and I kept getting directed all over the place, almost like I was getting pushed around without... Pushing me around, yeah. It basically was made, to my knowledge, that they didn't need to put a fire suppression system in. State statute didn't require it because of the amount of personnel that may be in the building at any given time. And I thought about that, and it does make sense, but it only makes sense if it was for, let's say I was to build a building, okay? And if I didn't want to have fire suppression and it was my money, that's a completely different animal. The county morgue, the coroner's office, that's not my money.
No, it is your money.
Well, it is, but it's your money and everybody else is within the city and the county who has paid taxes to pay for that building. And it was not, in my opinion, it's not good stewards of the county to blow off something as inexpensive as a fire suppression system after spending... The total project was $1.88 for the sheriff's office and the morgue, but the morgue itself was like $1.3 is what it was scheduled for. And I'm thinking, okay, you're going to add, what, $15,000 for a fire suppression system? That's peanuts compared to what it would cost now if they have to re-renovate that building, which is brand new, right? And putting a fire suppression system in, my guess is... upwards of $60,000-$65,000 or better.
So walk me through the timeline here. What happened? You go to the ribbon cutting ceremony. You notice there's no fire extinguishers, or at least you notice there wasn't any fire suppression, smoke alarms,
none.
Sprinklers.
Nothing.
Those sorts of things.
There wasn't even a panel. Normally, my background, I worked a lot with LAPD and LA County Fire and LA City Fire. And so I have... certain things stick out to me. And so seeing a fire panel or a service panel for an emergency service kind of the deal, it wasn't existent. And that got me looking up, and there's no water lines, there's no sprinkler heads. Got me looking up further, there's no smoke detectors or sensors.
Or at least at that time there weren't.
No, not on November 30th of 23.
So was there even like an axe hanging in the back of the room behind a piece of glass that says break in case of emergency?
No.
So nothing.
No. In fact, the building, even though the structure itself was kind of finished, the interior, they were still working on stuff. So I don't know if it was a rush to do the ribbon cutting. I mean, I got an invite from Dr. Bird, obviously, and I'm sure his intention in inviting me was not to be so observant, and not that he would have even been looking for any of this stuff. I'm sure when he got in the building, he figured it out as well. But yeah, it was just a surprise. To not find this. So then I started asking questions.
Okay, so hold on just a second. Let's talk about the timeline here.
Okay.
The bid went out September 13th of 2022. And for anybody that's listening, that is my birthday. So feel free to send gifts, future gifts, gifts on my birthday. I'm good either way. But that was prior to the general election. So
yes.
So Dr. Bird wasn't even in office when this thing went out to bid.
No. No, Dr. Byrd was not in office. Holly Jennings, who got appointed to county commission much later, was not in office. And as far as the city goes, Andy Patsick. Yeah, he had won his election, just hadn't taken office yet.
All right. So I just wanted to be clear about, you know, who the decision makers are or were and who they are now. So now Dr. Byrd is in office, mm-hmm. and it's basically his baby now. Or not basically, it is his baby.
Yeah, it is his baby.
Okay. So you notice that there is no sprinklers, that there's no fire extinguishers. You have a background in fire. You know, you work for a fire department. So what happened next? I mean, you go to the ribbon cutting ceremony, and then what did you do? I mean, did you go talk to a public official? Walk me through it.
At first, I just kind of was, you know, I guess I was more surprised and shocked by it. And I started thinking about, well, wait a minute. The first thing that actually entered my head is, what if I was involved in some criminal action in which the evidence would have ended up burning up in this building that could ultimately set me free? Well, if it burns up, there's no more evidence, and therefore I could be spending the rest of my life in jail. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, that happens in real life.
Oh yeah.
And this is taxpayers' money not being protected. I mean, $1.3 million for a building is pretty big money. I don't have that kind of pocket change, and I'm sure a lot of folks don't. And so they want to see that their tax dollars are properly protected. And their loved ones, you know, that are deceased, they still have a right and of respect and to be preserved properly and what have you. And I just started thinking about this, and then it got me thinking further to maybe I should make some inquiries. I did. I started at the city level. And that took me to the county, which then pushed me to the state fire marshal, which then pushed me back to the city, because the city has what I later learned was called home rule when it comes to fire inspection. And I'm thinking, what the heck is home rule? I've never heard that before. So I'm talking to the state fire marshal. He tells me who to talk to in the city of Sheridan. He basically tells me state fire marshals cannot come inside the city limits of Sheridan and do their job.
Now, I'd be interested to find out what the state fire codes are for public buildings. And my guess would be you would have fire suppression in state buildings.
I didn't go and do a bunch of digging in terms of new construction, what are requirements. I was just kind of going off of more common sense. There is statute that says if I were to build a building, and I don't have the population, I think it's under 50 or something along those lines, fire suppression is not needed. But I didn't build the building. The city and the county did with our tax dollars. And therefore, it comes right back full circle. We have to protect our investment, right? This is something that's going to be there for a while, and we want to preserve that. And the only way to do that is to put an alarm system, fire suppression system, a smoke alarm system. I mean, at the point that I had actually seen the building, the only protections really were keys to open doors, and that was it. So at the end of the day, that's all that was protecting our tax dollars and our loved ones.
Now, there's a couple of things that I want to explore here. First of all, this whole home rule thing, really, I think that's the ultimate in what politicians call local control. You know, you hear it all the time at the legislature. You know, we can't pass this law because that would implicate or that would cause a problem with local control. Normally, exactly. You hear that with like school districts, stuff
yep.
like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
With this home rule thing, really, the state didn't have any say in constructing the morgue or the fire suppression system for that matter. It was all up to the city. So to me, that sounds like we're going to do it our way, regardless of what common sense says or what, you know, the state fire code says. Now, I personally haven't looked at the state fire code, but I would imagine that there are some restrictions or at least procedures as to when you're supposed to have fire suppression and when you're not. Now, you found that out too. So what was the answer that you were given why there wasn't any sort of fire suppression system in the morgue? We'll get Harry's answer in just a second. But first, an absolutely outrageous profit timeout. This installment of Weekend Update is brought to you by Morton Buildings. It's spring, and you're probably thinking about putting up that building on your property. You've been dreaming about it all winter long while you looked at your boat full of snow, the motorcycle that's living in a snowdrift, or at least it was. Now, you could have prevented all of that simply by calling Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So this year, do things right. Call Nick and Jesse. Have them put that building on your property. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. I don't know if you've looked at the weather report or not, but it's not supposed to be very pleasant. In fact, it's going to be downright inhospitable. And you are going to have to go get out in it and shovel your walk at least one more time. Now, the best way to do that is to make sure that your feet are nice and toasty warm with a pair of socks from the Buffalo Wool Company. They make the most incredible socks that I've ever put on my feet. To get you a pair, go to their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Trust me, you're not going to be disappointed. The following advertisement was paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate.
I'm Reed Raisner, and I'm running for United States Senate because our politicians have forgotten what's important. They spend billions protecting borders in Europe and do nothing about our border. You deserve better. Wyoming deserves better. That's why I'm running, to serve you. Join me, and let's send new blood and a strong backbone to D.C. before it's too late. Go to ReedRaisner.com to learn more and join the fight.
And now, back to my gift to the Sheridan County Commissioners. Congratulations. I live here now.
If we go back just a little bit. So when I got told about home rule, that raised more red flags for me, because I'm thinking, like you're saying, you know, more local control. And I'm thinking, all right, I can see it where if, and I talked to Chief Harnish from the fire department, and the way he explained it to me is that they have, he didn't say how many individuals, but at least one, where they're trained exactly how the state fire marshal would be trained, have to have the same certifications and what have you. But where the gray area in our conversation kind of fell through was, does that mean they have to adhere to it here at the city of Sheridan, right? You would think they're supposed to, and that in order to keep their certifications and so forth, that would be the case. I also did talk to the local fire marshal for the state that is not allowed to come into the city of Sheridan, and he didn't say explicitly that if he were allowed to go into the city limits and start looking into some of these buildings and doing his own inspections, that, you know, what he would find. And I kind of left that like, so is he saying he would find stuff that should have been found out at the, you know, early on at an onset, or are these things that accumulate over time? Again, I don't know. He wasn't very specific, and I don't want to point fingers in that direction.
Okay, so you have a background in fire. Right, I'm assuming that you've
With fire departments back home, yeah, and LAPD.
All right, so have you ever seen a fire at a building that doesn't have fire suppression? I mean, what happens to the building?
Oh, it's destroyed.
Yeah, it goes up in cinders, right?
That's right.
All right, now the other thing I thought was...
everything inside of it as well.
Yeah. Now, the other thing I found interesting is your comment about law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have a lot of murders here in Sheridan, but there has been a couple recently.
Right.
And so the evidence gets transferred to the morgue. Now, I personally had a conversation with Dr. Bird and asked him, okay, what would happen, you know, if you've got the bodies locked up in the cooler and a fire breaks out, what would happen? And his answer was, it would probably be the same thing as what would happen to the contents of a safe if you had a real fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, depending on the temperature, probably what was in the cooler would get burned up. And he said, you know, they're solid and they're supposed to be resistant. But really, without any fire suppression system, and this is not part of his comments, this is me thinking about what he said, without any fire suppression system, well, then there's a good chance that whatever evidence is on that body is going to get burned up.
Correct. I agree.
All right. So you're digging into this.
Yep.
And you found out the fire suppression system wasn't even part of the plans.
No. And I was really surprised about that. Again, protecting taxpayer dollars. It's a taxpayer building, if you will. No, it wasn't even part of the plans. I actually contacted the architect who won the bid. They basically told me what statute was that if it's under, I'm pretty sure it was under 50 people that are there a certain amount of hours a day, that fire suppression wasn't required. When I went to ask the question about, okay, that's a private building, not a public building, does that change when it's a public? They no longer wanted to have that conversation with me.
No doubt.
And that conversation ended, which leads me to believe that, yeah, probably fire suppression should have been installed.
Yeah, and not to mention the low price tag, which we'll talk about here in just a minute. But it's a public building, and you have public employees working in the morgue. You said in the beginning, there wasn't even a fire detection system originally.
Not at all.
So let's talk about that for a minute. The morgue is complete, and then months after you started asking questions, did the city or the county have a meeting about a alarm system?
I'm not entirely sure. I've come to the understanding it is an alarm system, and it's going to be a monitored alarm system from some other entity. It was something that was quickly put on an agenda at county commission. And when I started asking questions about it, nobody wanted to talk about it. They said they couldn't. It was confidential in its nature.
Well, that makes sense.
It does. It's a public building with very specific access and can have confidential like evidence and things like that in there. So I do respect that. But the way it just was kind of shady, if you ask me. Nobody would talk about it. And then when the item came up for discussion, there was zero discussion with the county commissioners. I was there. And then they voted on it, and then that was it. It was done.
There was no discussion of...
Zero discussion.
Did they have competitive bids?
I don't know.
Now, that would be... that's one of the things we probably should have looked at.
That I do not know.
You know, and my question is, why would you design a building or a morgue that is supposed to be pretty secure because you've got evidence in there?
Yeah.
You can watch any cop show you want, and sure, the criminals, they're wanting to get rid of the evidence, and the morgue is one of the places that they hit.
Sure.
But even for the people that are working in there, to design a building that doesn't even have a smoke detector in there. So let's say they go ahead with this monitoring system that they voted on after, with no discussion.
Just a few weeks ago, actually. This just occurred a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it was pretty recently. Like I think
three,
I was
3 weeks ago.
I think
or
I was still down at Cheyenne when you told me that they were going to have this meeting.
Right. It was the second to last week. It was after I'd already been in Cheyenne. So it was when I got back is when that meeting took place. So it would have been the third week of February.
Something like that.
Yeah,
that sounds
third week
about
of February.
Right. So now, again, and I know I keep leaning on your experience in firefighting and working around firefighters. But in your experience, how long does it take for a fire to get out of hand? I mean, fire starts.
Depends on what it's made out of. I mean, it could take seconds. It could take minutes. But ultimately, here's the other way to think about this. And I think this is where you're going. Okay. So they're hiring a third party contractor to come in and put sensors in the building. Okay. After the fact. Now, wherever that third party is located, let's say smoke does arise inside the building, okay, or they're heat sensitive or what have you. It still has to go through a central station. There's time that takes. Then that station has to have an operator to go, hey, there's a red light blinking on my dash. I need to call for services. So now there's more time that takes. So by the time services actually do arrive, and again, this is my synopsis. I'm not saying this to be fact. But in my head, this is where I'm going with this. Minutes are already gone, right? Meanwhile, the building's burning. And by the time emergency services, EMS, fire, police do arrive. Now, keep in mind, you have the police station and the sheriff's literally across a parking lot, but they don't fight fires. Fire is all the way down in the south end of town. So by the time they get the call and the time they dispatch fire personnel.
We're talking several minutes.
You're talking a building of 2,200 square foot that's probably going to be.
Toast.
Yeah.
All right. Now you talked to you mentioned before that you talked to the architect, the guys that designed this.
Yes.
And that was Arete Engineering?
Yeah. Arete Design Group.
Okay. So you talked to them and they told you that, nope, it wasn't even part of the original design. But somewhere along the line, you were told that if they were to have installed the fire suppression system, that you were looking at an extra $15,000.
Yeah, that was through the state fire marshal that is here in Sheridan County. He's the one that's not allowed to access within city limits, any of the buildings or structures within city limits. So we had a conversation and I said, hey, just by chance, do you happen to know what a fire suppression system would cost? Had they included it in the construction while building this building? And he says, yeah, it probably would have been about
$15,000. $15,000 is a pittance when compared to $1.3 million.
Yeah.
And certainly it's a pittance compared to the original bid amount, which was $1.88 million.
Right. And keep in mind that that $600,000 went to the reconstruction in the basement of the sheriff's department. So it was a combo bid, basically. The work that was being done for both projects was through one bid. So a total of $1,880,000.
So would you say that the public officials that you talked to were forthcoming in your investigation? Or you mentioned a couple of times that, well, that's where the conversation ended.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny when you're asking folks questions and then they kind of lights a red flag in their mind. They don't want to talk much anymore. They want to redirect you elsewhere to get it off their plate and put it on somebody else's plate. So for a little bit, it did seem like I was chasing my tail and on a wild goose chase. But ultimately, I kind of just went down the list. Who were the people that I could potentially figure out were involved and who may have known, and just started asking questions and tried not to ask questions that were going to get me shut down, but try to get them to talk to me just because I was curious. The more I dug, the more curious I became.
Well, you had reason to be.
Sure.
I guess after hearing the whole story, how everything went down and how you investigated all this, what would you say your reasoning for going to all this trouble was, investigating all of this, besides, you know, helping out doing this story? I mean, what drove you to do this?
My tax dollars at work, and we all got to pay taxes. I like to pay as less tax as possible. And if the powers to be, city government, county, commissioners, et cetera, if they're the ones going to be in charge of being good stewards of that money, then they should be good stewards. They should protect those interests, those assets that belong to me and you and your listeners and everybody else. And in this case, it's quite clear that that's not the case.
So what happens now? Have you had any conversations with county commissioners or Dr. Bird about how they're going to remedy this situation? Are they going to do anything about it?
So, no. I mean, I've had a couple of chats just recently with Dr. Bird, because when I found out about this central alarm system monitoring, I asked him about it. He refused to comment because he said he couldn't talk about it. And I respect that. You know, I understand that public buildings have a certain right to confidentiality because they just don't want anybody being able to come in,
right,
knowing layouts and, you know, things like that to cause problems down the road. So that I respect. As far as the county goes, when I asked, hey, what is this? Basically, it was a no comment. Nobody wanted to discuss it.
Well, I'm sure not.
So ultimately, I'm making an hypothesis on what it is. I'm pretty sure I'm right. I'd put money on it, if you will. But beyond that, that's as much as I know at this point.
So it sounds like you talked to a number of people during this investigation. But it wasn't just that. You submitted a number of FOIA requests.
I did. I submitted a couple FOIA requests to the city of Sheridan and another FOIA request to the county, which ultimately I dealt with Cameron Duff at the county.
All right. So my point being is this was a little bit more than just walking around asking people. And you also visited an office in Cheyenne, right?
On the phone. Actually didn't go down to Cheyenne. I actually made contacts with the state fire marshal down in Cheyenne, who led me to the local fire marshal here. The gentleman that isn't allowed to go within city limits. He can do everything in the county, just can't go inside city limits and do his job. I spoke to Fire Chief Gary Harnish. I spoke to the planning. I don't know what his official title is, but Brian Washko, he's a contractor for the city, basically approves and denies all plans and stuff like that for the city, as well as Cecilia Good, who I figured would be the ultimate contact since she's a clerk, to get those requests. So she actually had, there was two requests to her, one very specific, and then I got a response back saying they couldn't do it because of security reasons, which I get. And then the other one basically directed me. She didn't have that information on the second request, and then she referred me to the county.
Now, the security request, that one makes sense to me, because you don't want everybody knowing the security layout of the morgue we're trying to protect with fire suppression. So that one makes sense. But
absolutely,
we've got a voicemail that you were left on the phone. And since we have it, let's go ahead and play it.
Hi, Mr. Pollack. This is Kathy with the City of Sheridan. Calling in regards to your public records request. The city clerk is denying the request as it's stated, saying that it falls under as a political subdivision if the plans that you are requesting reference the information such as the buildings or structures, life and safety systems, surveillance techniques, alarms, or security systems. If the plans you're requesting contain that information, then we are not allowed to release those. The clerk is actually out today. She responded by email. If you do have any questions for her, she's happy to visit with you about it. Her direct line would be 675-4214.
So my point here is that we actually did our due diligence with this investigation. I mean, we used FOIA requests, some of which were fulfilled, one of which was denied, and rightfully so.
Sure.
And I just want to show our listeners that this was a lot more than just going around talking to a couple people in Sheridan.
Oh, it was. And actually, I'm looking at my notes, and it's kind of funny because I started, the ribbon cutting was November 30th. By December 18th is about when I started getting serious about digging deeper and finding out more. If it was just my brain and thinking more of it than there really was, or is there really more to this, and that our tax dollars really did need to be protected.
Well, Harry, thank you very much for all the energy and time that you put into tracking all this stuff down. I think more people should be a little curious, like you were, and start asking questions, because after all, it's our tax dollars. See, I can say our tax dollars.
That's right. Now you live here.
Now I live here.
That's right. You're official.
But ultimately, it's our money that they're spending and using. And the idea is that they're going to be good stewards of that.
Correct.
I mean, they hired an architectural firm. I'm assuming that there are people on the county commission that have a construction background. That only makes sense. I know that, of course, Andy wasn't even elected when this thing went down. Councilman Patzig, he's an engineer.
Yeah, and he specializes with water and what have you.
Yeah, so anyway, thank you very much for the time that you took to go through this investigation, and just keep me posted on any updates that happen.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, David.
If I had to venture a guess, I would say that sometime in the future, the Sheridan County Commission will have to pay an exorbitant amount of money to put a fire suppression system in the morgue. Oh, what was I thinking? They won't have to pay anything. You will. Well, that'll do it for today's installment of Weekend Update. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll probably talk on Wednesday. I'm heading out of town this weekend, and I won't be back until late Monday. But until then, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.